U.S. Department of Justice defines domestic violence as a pattern of abusive behavior in any relationship that is used by one partner to gain or maintain control over another intimate partner. Domestic violence is the leading cause of injury to women in the United States. Today, we explore one of the resources that's here in our community to help women, and men for that matter, get out of difficult situations. It is the Upper Cumberland Family Justice Center. Its director is Amy Stockwell.
Prior to my being the director, they had applied for a grant because the state, Governor Haslam, had a plan to create family justice centers across the state. We had two. And so Randy York was the district attorney then, and someone in his office had said, we need to do this. And so they applied for the grant. Initially, the state only wanted to do urban centers to begin with, but there was a lot of interest in the Upper Cumberland, and they lobbied, and then we were given the grant. So we opened the center actually in 2015. But from 2013 to 2015, we worked on developing those partnerships and community assessments to see where there were gaps in the system and what was needed so that we could figure out what our Family Justice Center would look like, because there wasn't a clear pattern. And then there wasn't a rural Family Justice Center to study. So that's how we got started. It was a lot of research.
What is the goal of the center?
The goal of the center is to improve victim safety and offender accountability. Those are our two broad goals.
Before there was a center, how was the process, how was what a victim dealt with different?
In our study, our community assessment, we tried to figure out all the things that, depending on what systems you were involved in, you know, if DCS was involved, if there was a civil hearing for an order of protection, for example, if there was a divorce, or if there were, you know, also criminal charges, how many places that victims would be required to go to get through this process. And so then we tried to figure out how we could make those obstacles smaller so that more of those things could be dealt with at one location. So that was our initial go. But there could be 20 plus places that people would have to go just to find resources. And that's if they knew about those resources. So that was the other thing. We needed to be sort of a warehouse for all the new programs and the new agencies that had grant money or were community funded, or churches that have new programs. We wanted to sort of be that warehouse or clearinghouse even for that knowledge. So when someone comes in, we can hear their story and then say, these might be things that could help you.
So you imagine that you're at a very difficult spot in your life, and before, you were kind of just left to navigate out of nobody's fault, but you just kind of had to find what you needed to happen.
Yeah, it really depended on where you entered the system. You know, was there a domestic and law enforcement was called, and you would get the resources that law enforcement knew about? Or if you went to Genesis House, say for emergency shelter, then they have a wealth of knowledge about resources, but they were for those clients. And the majority of clients don't need emergency shelter. So there were just some of those gaps in knowledge. And then if we could all work together, you know, the Family Justice Center, we sort of consider it a little umbrella. So if we can all work together and share those resources, then hopefully those can spread no matter where you come in the system. You know, if it's the criminal system, the civil system, or if you don't even have anything to do with the courts, you still have those resources available to you.
For you and those that were involved in the study, were you even surprised a little bit at the number of resources that were available?
Oh, yes. I was shocked. And there were things that I didn't know about. Of course, there have been so many things that have been added since then. And I'm still shocked each year how many, you know, when you look back and think, wow, these are the new partners and the new programs that we have. But it's hard to see that when, you know, if you're a domestic violence victim, the best tool that an abuser has is to isolate you. So you feel like there is no help available. But the community has recognized that, and federal agencies and, you know, grant organizations have recognized that these resources need to be available. So just reach out to help. We're supposed to know the resources that are available.
The Upper Cumberland Family Justice Center is our focus today as we visit with Amy Stockwell. Amy Stockwell is director of the Upper Cumberland Family Justice Center. We'll tell you how you can get involved with their work and maybe if you or someone you know needs their services as we continue forward. So you're closing in very quickly on a decade of work. I know you can step back and look at it and say, has it done what you thought it was supposed to do?
I feel like I'm surprised even by the effect that we've had. Initially, you wanted to help. You wanted every person that walked through the door to immediately leave that situation so that they could be safe. And so my perspective has changed a bit. That's not an appropriate outcome for some people. So, but I have been amazed at how life-changing the people who've come into the Family Justice Center and then done that work. You know, we've walked beside them or behind them or around them, but that have done that work to see those lives that are changed. That makes it all worthwhile. So we've seen huge increases each year in the amount of clients that we see. So I think that, to me, is a sign that what we're doing is good, because probably that's come from word of mouth or people who've been in the center before and then came back because it was helpful.
Are we more effectively marshaling the resources that have been there to use them to their most effect?
I believe so. We're very conscious about not duplicating efforts. So we need to find out what everybody else is doing. But when we all work together, then that sort of leverages everybody's efforts. And so we're able to better care for clients and to support them.
So. This started out as a Putnam County initiative from the standpoint of location, but it was always the idea that this was going to try to expand.
We initially thought we would serve 14 counties. That feasibly, we take whoever walks through the front door. It doesn't matter where you're from, or, I mean, we have people from out of state. But, you know, a lot of times it's closer to go now to another center, or, you know, Fentress County, it's a long way to get here. So we did start with Putnam, hoping that we could serve the entire Upper Cumberland. And then, you know, the Family Justice Center, we didn't know what we were building. It's what the community needs. So we realized that it was difficult for our Overton County clients to get here along with Pickett and Clay. And so that's when we decided, okay, we'll expand in that direction. So we're the only center that has a satellite center. So there are two locations of the Upper Cumberland Family Justice Center. And that's, we're just checking to see how that goes. If that works, possibly we will be able to open another center within the Upper Cumberland.
And that's an Overton County office.
We have, yeah, Overton County and Putnam now.
So the idea would be, let's explore it, see if it works, and then maybe go further?
That's what I'd like to do.
Right. Has it become, are other rural areas across the state, because you said this started as kind of an urban thing, have other rural areas taken notice of what's happened here?
We have a lot of rural centers now. So since we opened, they have done different rounds of grants. So there's a Scott County Family Justice Center now, which is great for the Fentress County folks. And then there's Anderson County, Claiborne County. There's a center in Brownsville, which is West Tennessee. So there are several very rural centers. And then there's some more like us, like Jackson, Tennessee, and then Knoxville and Memphis and Nashville. So, yeah, we have our chain of Family Justice Centers is very nearly the largest one in the United States. So we compete with California, which is where it all, the whole program started.
Where the idea started?
Yeah, that was the first Family Justice Center.
How are you funded?
We are funded. 70% is from grant funds. So right now it's VOCA, so the Victims of Crime Act. But the other, we receive money from collections for people who are found guilty of certain crimes. So we use that. You have to match those grant funds. So we use that, and then we have some donations from the community as well. And sometimes, not COVID sort of changed this, but sometimes we can leverage those volunteer hours as in-kind match as well.
Is there a misunderstanding, Amy, that you're not so much the provider of the services, you're the clearinghouse of the services?
I think that's a great way to put it. So we have six employees, between the two centers, and that includes me. So we do direct services. When somebody comes into the Family Justice Center and they want an order of protection, it's us that will write that. But we connect them, referral services, with Genesis House is located on site, so they can talk to those advocates if they need counseling or clothing or food. And then if they're going to have court accompaniment, if they want somebody to go with them, a lot of times they can meet that person while they're there. So we don't provide those services. We connect those. And Legal Aid is a great partner for us, too.
But you're not collecting clothes or diapers or that sort of thing. You're not coordinating child care. You're being the conduit to find those things.
Yes. Yes, in that way. So if somebody makes a donation to us, we usually then pass that through Genesis House. Of course, it'll pass back through to our clients that come into the Family Justice Center, even if they, you know, don't see Genesis House. But we work together in that way. But yes.
Amy Stockwell is our guest as we talk about the work of the Upper Cumberland Family Justice Center. The Upper Cumberland Family Justice Center is a resource if you find yourself in a situation of domestic violence and you feel like you just don't know where to turn. This is a good first step. Amy, how do we get in touch with you?
You can call us if you don't want to come in initially. That number is 528-1512. If you call that number, we can get you in touch with our Livingston office as well. And we're located at 269 South Willow Avenue, and we're in Suite E, which I know you know, Larry, but it's behind the building there.
Across from El Tapatio, if you're wondering where exactly that is. What's your assessment of domestic violence in the Upper Cumberland? How critical is the issue?
I would say very critical. We've been lucky to have fewer problems than some of the the urban areas have as far as numbers, but a lot of the cases in the rural communities are more serious. So we don't have as many homicides because we don't have as many people, but being in rural communities allows for that isolation, and we see some very serious cases. The per capita, the ones in Overton County it was shocking to me how many of them were considered high risk by our designation. So I think what that taught us is that we need more centers in rural areas because those people are isolated and it's harder for them to get to the Family Justice Center, but especially if it's 30 minutes away rather than 5. So
what makes the situations more high risk?
We use a lethality assessment screen, which is evidence-based. It was Jacqueline Campbell, and it's over 35 years old. The one we use is to assess your danger of being killed by an intimate partner. So there are certain things on there that if you answer yes to any of these things, like strangulation, we know, and I can't remember the percentage, but you were saying, 50% more likely to be killed by an intimate partner than if that doesn't exist. If they have easy access to firearms, if they've threatened to kill you before, or your children, that's another one that automatically says that you're high risk. If you have a combination of other factors, there's 11 questions that we use on this lethality screen that was meant for law enforcement. Law enforcement uses it too. So if it hasn't happened, we can do it at the center. But a combination of those factors can also make you high risk. So a lot of times too, it's based on what somebody, the story that somebody tells you. Some of them are obviously high risk, especially if, they've had multiple instances where they've been strangled and then lost consciousness. But a lot of times victims they minimize it because it's hard to believe that the whole situation's hard to believe that someone that you love and care about would hurt you like that enough for you to be in danger of being killed by them. So that's one reason that we do the lethality assessment.
Has domestic violence changed in its focus and or numbers in the aftermath of COVID?
I feel like, but this also, we opened the Overton Center in 2021. So I feel like that some of the cases, I feel like that we're seeing more high-risk cases. That could be because we've had more training. We've got more tools to assess that. But I also think that COVID changed a lot of things, of course. And I think that people, for whatever reason, are having more mental health issues and more substance abuse issues, and it's making them more violent.
Do tougher economic times impact domestic mm-hmm. violence?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Because it becomes a stressor?
Mm-hmm. It's one more thing. A lot of people who are maxed out, it overwhelmed. That really has affected, and it's affected the women who can leave a situation as well. I mean, housing, if they're just one thing, the housing prices now, I mean, people can't afford to live on their own. So,
do the holidays have an impact on domestic violence?
They do, yeah. I think, it's a time of ideal relationships, and we're all a little bit more sentimental. There's also that hope that the next year's going to be better. I think that makes it a lot different. Also, interactions with family and that worry about what other people are going to see, or, you know, how that's going to affect the relationship with their abuser. I think there are a lot of things in the holidays that affect domestic violence. It certainly makes it more difficult for some people to leave, especially if they have kids. And so it is difficult, yes.
Amy Stockwell of the Upper Cumberland Family Justice Center is our guest.